Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Let's check leading stories at 47 minutes after the hour, where we're watching a bit of a free fall on Wall Street just about 20 minutes after the opening bell. All indices down more than 1.5%, and gold rising, of course, up about $15 an ounce in response, and the yen surging forward as well, all related to economic news out this week, including the number of people applying for unemployment benefits down slightly. We learned from the Labor Department this morning by 1,000 applications. That's all, 1,000 applications remaining at 400,000, the continuing claims for unemployment benefits. In Washington, the State Department has handed over the Libyan embassy to the Transitional National Council. The move will allow Libyan opposition groups to reclaim millions in frozen bank accounts. While Congress is out on summer recess, one Democrat now taking a permanent break, Congressman David Wu, is the fourth member of Congress to step down this year in the wake of a sex scandal for the Oregon congressman. The new head of the International Monetary Fund is being investigated in France for allegedly abusing her power. Christine Lagarde's intervention in a bank dispute will be investigated by a French court. The court will be deciding if Lagarde, who was the French finance minister at the time, should have been involved in that bank arbitration. Day two in the trial of Egypt's former leaders, one of the country's most senior politicians, is in court this morning, charged with ordering the killings of hundreds of demonstrators. Former President Hosni Mubarak is due back in court on August 15th. And fans of Bubba Smith are paying tribute to him today. The former NFL star turned actor was found dead in his Los Angeles home. Smith played football for the Baltimore Colts, Oakland, and Houston, but he was just as well known for his long run in the Police Academy series and Miller Lite ads like this one.
I had my own way of tackling. I used to grab the whole backfield. Then I threw guys out until I found the one with the ball.
He was a big guy and an entertaining one as well. Bubba Smith dead at age 66. You're listening to The Takeaway, where we always want to hear what you have to say. Find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/The Takeaway.
We want to kind of digest some of the economic numbers that we've gotten today. And here to help us with that is Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal, ahead of the tape columnist. Good morning again, Kelly.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Let's start with this basically flat jobless number, the weekly jobless numbers coming out. And basically, there's just 1,000 fewer claims than there were. And then again, this means a long string of weeks in which the claims have been above 400,000. Is that really bad, slightly bad, or just kind of bad?
Well, I'd say they're moving in the right direction. So if you look at kind of the four-week moving average, we're seeing it continue to come down towards that 400,000 level. Still above it, though, so that's the worry. It's kind of like the backdrop here is one of weakness, but at least it's moving in the right direction. And remember, you know, with the FAA layoffs, there was a concern we'd see a big jump this week. Now, that didn't materialize. It may simply be that we won't really see them come through until next week or the week after. But at least from this report, people are looking at it and saying that the labor market picture isn't getting significantly worse than it was, you know, last week. Again, we'll keep an eye on the big jobs report tomorrow morning to see, you know, just what that picture really looks like.
We also have the retail numbers that came out. How are we to interpret these?
Yeah, a strange batch of, of chain store sales figures or same store sales figures. So basically, a bunch of your mall chains, department stores, they all come out with monthly numbers throughout the day today. And so we've gotten most of those in. You know, for the most part, they were able to kind of meet expectations. They were reasonably good. There were some big losers in there. Gap, Kohl's down significantly, Zumiez. You know, at the same time, you have some of the Abercrombie and Fitch's limited brands doing well. So you really have to kind of look and almost get a sense of who's getting the share of the customer wallet. It's not a case where we're seeing spending rise and it's lifting all boats. People are really fighting for that. And the interesting question is to what degree discounts and competitive moves like that are attracting sales, but at the expense of their profit margin.
We're speaking with Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal, ahead of the tape columnist. And even in light of those numbers that you were just talking about, Kelly, we have these numbers on luxuries. And the luxury segment, they had sales of almost 12% increase. That's the biggest monthly gain in sales in more than a year.
Yeah, and now part of this, remember, we're always comparing with the year earlier. Last August or last July wasn't necessarily the strongest period in the world.
True.
But we do know that this trend in the economy where those on the upper end catering towards a higher income, wealthier demographic are simply just having better success, seeing their sales continue to grow. They're not necessarily as concerned or hurt by some of the cost pressures also that we're seeing at the lower end, which is really hurting, you know, a lot of those places that have less room really to lower prices. So, you know, keep in mind, this morning we got this RBC Consumer Confidence Index. It's a monthly one. Doesn't necessarily get a ton of attention, but an interesting nugget in there, it found consumer confidence sliding for the month, and also noticed that people plan to spend less on back-to-school purchases. Now, that may certainly be getting the market's attention. It may be why you see retail shares under pressure. You know, we really need to see people spending in this back-to-school season, which is the second most important retail season of the year after holiday.
Well, sliding confidence,
your projections.
Sliding confidence on so many levels there. You got the J.P. Morgan number that you mentioned on GDP for the third quarter. Looking at the markets, which are a leading indicator, and they're not the whole economy, I mean, you've got the VIX index, the volatility index for all the major indices, way, way up. It seems as though investors have really just sort of pulled out and have thrown up their hands.
Well, what's interesting is, especially after some of the trading you've seen the last couple of days being so erratic, and you've heard all these records floating around about how we might, you know, have a 9-day losing stretch, which we barely avoided, by the way, but that would have been, you know, the first time in 30-some years. There's this real sense of bearishness on Wall Street, but that's when you start hearing some of the seasoned veterans talking about capitulation and it's oversold and getting in at these levels. So if you start to see the data, you know, if we get a reasonable jobs report tomorrow, if we start to get data over the next couple of days, it just suggests, Yeah, things are weak, but we're not, you know, already in recession. I think you'll probably see the market find a bottom here. But again, it's really the onus is on the data to sort of prove that the economy's not sliding backwards at this point.
And again, we're speaking with Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal, ahead of taped columnist. Although we're sitting here talking about a hopes that consumer confidence will rise at the same time that we have these numbers from the Department of Agriculture saying that there's an all-time record number of Americans, nearly 46 million of them, getting food assistance, now relying on food stamps to help them buy groceries.
Yes, and that's also where you see a lot of the weakness showing up in these monthly chain store figures, where, you know, the luxury end is holding in there pretty well, but those at the bottom, the discounters, those who are fighting for that kind of lower income demographic, aren't doing well at all, and it's where you really start to see the impact of those people who are on food stamps, who are having real trouble making ends meet. Now, that number, by the way, of people on food stamps has jumped this year as gas prices and food prices have really surged. The hope is that as that starts to come off in the months ahead, that gives people a little more breathing space. But if the economy is not moving in the right direction, if even as that happens, if growth prospects are dimming, I think it's going to be a much higher bar to really get people feeling better and back on their feet.
And that's federal money going to food stamps, even as the federal government attempts to pare the public sector payrolls, they're going to have to pay it out in income programs like that. So the federal government is partly responsible for some of those numbers.
Well, and remember, jobless claims, food stamps, all these government programs, come with a cost. And the more people that are using them, the higher the cost. And at a time when there's this kind of move to lower government spending, it just means you're going to see squeezes somewhere else. So, you know, there's just simply not enough money to go around and to help everyone who potentially needs it. And so the question then becomes, what do you do from sort of the top-level point of view to get the private sector back in gear? And the real focus tomorrow on the jobs report will be not just what the headline figure is, but what's the private sector figure? Because if the weak headline figure is largely because of government layoffs, but at least the private sector shows some momentum, people will feel much better than if it's the other way around.
That's Kelly Evans. She's the Wall Street Journal, writes the Ahead of the Tape column. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
And the conversation on jobs continues at thetakeaway.org. We got a lot of responses with the discussion yesterday that businesses that rely on foreign workers, with so many domestic Americans out of work, why? We talked with the owner of the Lobster Pot restaurant yesterday in Provincetown, Mass.
A combination of the housing and the cost of living and availability, there's just no skilled workers available.
According to Sean McNulty of the Lobster Pot, but we got a lot of response from listeners.
This is John Paul calling from Detroit, and if you can't run a business paying what it takes for Americans to work, then it's not a business that I'm willing to support as an American. I would work in the fields, and I have a law degree, if people were willing to pay me so I could do it part-time.
And Amy in Boston had this analysis of what's going on in Provincetown. Provincetown and Cape Cod in general, she says, have changed a great deal since the 70s. A very large percentage of homes are now seasonal. The residents are either short-term visitors or wealthy folks, neither of whom are going to be interested in restaurant jobs. Eastern European students are willing to tackle some of the more basic summer jobs, like working in a supermarket or driving buses. For them, being here is part of the adventure and also part of the education. We are better off for having the youth of other countries visit us. There are no easy answers, but forcing businesses like the Lobster Pot to remain understaffed doesn't help the unemployed. And in fact, would add to the problem. You know how to reach us. Talk to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org and be a part of the conversation. We'll be getting those job numbers out tomorrow. And you can see videos by being our fan on Facebook. Go to thetakeaway.org/thetakeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.